Welcome and thank you for joining us on Birth Mother Matters and Adoption with Kelly Rourke Scarry and me, Ron Raines, where we delve into the issues of adoption from every angle of the adoption triad.
Do what's best for your kid and for yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, you're definitely not going to be able to take care of that kid, and that's not fair.
And I know that my daughter will be well taken care of with them.
Don't have an abortion. Give this child a chance.
All I could think about was needing to save my son.
My name is Kelly Rourke Scarry. I am the Executive Director, President, and Co-Founder of Building Arizona Families Adoption Agency, the Donna K. Evans Foundation, and creator of the You Before Me campaign. I have a bachelor's degree in Family Studies and Human Development and a master's degree in Education with an emphasis in school counseling. I was adopted at the age of 3 days, born to a teen birth mother, raised in a closed adoption, and reunited with my birth mother in 2007. I have worked in the adoption field for over 15 years.
And I'm Ron Raines. I've worked in radio since 1999. I was the co-host of two successful morning shows in Prescott, Arizona. Now I work for my wife, who's an adoption attorney, and I'm able to combine these two great passions and share them on this podcast.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to rate and review us on whatever platform you use to listen to us, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Look for AZ Adopt Podcast.
There's been a lot of talk amongst the adoption community that there are not a lot of women looking to actively place for adoption right now. And that is what we're going to address today, because a lot of adoptive families are calling our agency for one and other agencies, because some agencies aren't even accepting new adoptive parents right now because they just don't have the birth mothers. And so there is a common question of, where have the birth mothers gone? Why are there not as many birth mothers that are looking to place their children for adoption now in this moment in time? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, because it's really a hot topic in the adoption community. And I want to preface this episode with, this is just my opinion. There hasn't been any research done to date over the last year with COVID as to reasons why women are placing or not placing. You know, in the adoption community, we wondered in the beginning of the COVID outbreak if there was going to be like an influx or windfall of women who financially and for other reasons wanted to choose adoption. And I didn't really see that happen. I can't speak for other agencies. I know that we are one of the agencies that is accepting adoptive families into our program. But at the same time, we are seeing a decrease in the amount of women who have interest in placing their children for adoption. So let's go ahead and, like I said, let's dive into it. I will share some of my hypotheses and some of my possible predictions as well.
Obviously, you know that this is the case here in Arizona and with Building Arizona Families. Have you heard anything as far as nationally?
Yes, I'm referring to nationally.
Okay, very good.
I'm referring to, this is not just in Arizona, this is across the board. There are, you know, agencies reporting really low numbers in terms of the women that are calling in. And again, that's not necessarily the case with our agency. Yes, we have seen a decrease in the shift of birth mothers coming in. But, you know, some agencies, like I said, aren't even allowing adoptive families to join their program because of how few birth mothers have joined their adoption program. So some of my hypotheses are these. When you see a lot of women who, over the past almost 17 years that I've done adoptions, choose adoption because financially they're unable to provide for the children they either have now or even for themselves. You know, they may be homeless, they may be in a shelter, and there is a shortage of social service resources, then adoption becomes a very viable option in their mind and in their heart, because they want to make sure that they can, you know, provide for their child even when it's not them providing. In other words, their child will be provided for. And when every tax time comes every year, as an agency, we normally see a little bit of a decrease in the amount of birth mothers that come in, because what birth mothers have shared with me is that when they receive their tax refund or their earned income credit, they feel like they can, you know, use this and get back on their feet. And if they've been doing drugs, then they can work the DCS or CPS program, because now they can have a place, you know, they can find a place to live, hopefully with that money, and kind of restart or jumpstart their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I have found that is very parallel is that when the homeless shelters are empty, the amount of birth mothers that we see decreases. And when the shelters are full, we see the numbers increase. And again, this is just from my opinion. This is just what I've watched happen over the last 17 years. And so now with the stimulus checks and the extra assistance from the government with unemployment and so forth, it is giving women alternative options and opportunities rather than choosing adoption. And in my opinion, that's really the crux of what we are seeing as an adoption community, that the stimulus checks and the unemployment, whether, you know, it's obtained in a legitimate or non-legitimate manner, it's still, you know, sometimes being obtained. And women are giving themselves, you know, this belief system that this is now the answer. Unfortunately, it is really not the answer, because it's not sustainable.
It's more of a false hope.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And the reason that I can comfortably say that is because when women manage their post-birth living expenses themselves, we often find them frustrated at the choices that they themselves made financially after they have spent their money. And so my fear is that, you know, going into this, they're choosing to parent, even if it means that DCS is taking custody of the baby, and they are, you know, trying to reinvent themselves in their life so that they can ultimately parent their own child. My fear is that this false sense of security is going to lead to a higher number of babies possibly in the state's custody. And that's a real concern that I have. Hopefully that won't be the case, but you know, when we see money that is given, you know, whether it's through tax refunds or earned income credit or stimulus money, unfortunately, we see a very large increase in drug use as well. Mm. And so that is going to bring, you know, more children into the state's custody as well. So if they're not choosing adoption because, you know, there is that sense or false sense of security that may or may not exist, we're going to start seeing, you know what I mean? There's going to be, unfortunately, I'm fearing a rise in the numbers mm-hmm. of children in the state's custody. And I know that the numbers significantly dropped during COVID because the children, you know, weren't in school. And so there wasn't somebody who was, you know, a mandatory reporter around the children, just making sure that everybody was safe and in a good place. And so their numbers had dropped. And I think as children are now resuming school and, you know, teachers are able to see the children and make sure that everybody is being taken care of, my concern is that we're just going to see a real rise in those numbers. And hopefully that's, like I said, not the case.
I want to go back to where you said that they will allow the children to go into DCS kind of in the hopes of getting them back later by going through the process. And when we talked to your employee who had worked for DCS previously, it's probably fundamental to remind these birth mothers that those cases are few and far between, that the birth mother does end up getting the child back.
We as, you know, an agency, and, you know, I've been in the social work field for over 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I will say I haven't seen a lot from my experience, and this is just my experience and my perception, I haven't seen a lot of reunifications. And that seems to be a common thought process throughout the social work community and adoption community. And that being the case, it saddens us unitedly, because mm-hmm. these are children that could be going into forever families rather than going through the foster care system or what have you. So again, I'm so excited that as a nation, we are back on track to start learning how to live again after COVID. But I think that we need to be very careful in what we do as a society and providing a false sense of security, because that is not going to do anybody any good short term or long term. And so I just think that we need to be reminded. So that, in my opinion, is where the birth mothers have gone. That's not to say that birth mothers aren't still coming. Of course they are. Mm-hmm. But if an agency is not as populated by birth mothers as they usually are, in my opinion, that is why. And it's also tax season as well. And so those refunds are coming in and a stimulus check was just given. And again, that's money that isn't normally had by some people who would have looked into adoption possibly as another means.
Right. Do you think the birth mothers are going to start coming in later as this money is depleted?
Yes.
Okay. So they'll be later in their pregnancies a lot of times then.
Maybe. Okay. I think it will depend on when, you know, planet reality and planet fantasy are separated.
Right.
And planet reality is the prominent understanding and acceptance place of a woman who is pregnant and trying to decide what is best for her baby and for her and what is realistic and what is achievable. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that somebody who is on the fence shouldn't explore, you know, parenting or adoption. They absolutely should. Mm-hmm. But being realistic rather than being, you know, hopeful. Having hope is great. Having faith is amazing. But at the same time, you have to know what is really achievable and what is not. And you want to make sure that you are setting yourself up and your child up for success rather than, you know, because I have had women that come into the program and make an adoption plan and then ultimately choose to place their baby with the state system because that they're not allowed to parent at that moment in time. And so the state takes custody. So rather than continuing along their adoption journey, they choose to work with the state, the Department of Child Safety. And in doing so, they go into that with the belief and intent of reunifying with their child and being able to parent. And I have seen over and over again, sometimes within a very short period of time, where they can't work successfully the plan that is placed in front of them. And that's hard to watch. Mm-hmm. They do sometimes keep in touch, and it is. It's hard to watch.
What do you think the future is for this situation with what's going on with COVID, with the influx of money from the government and everything? What do you think we can look forward to?
In my opinion, as long as there is funding that is being received on behalf of women who may have chosen adoption or may be of the mindset of choosing adoption, if they didn't have those funding, will continue, you know, the numbers will be what they are until that false sense of security is removed.
But that money just can't come. I mean, I'm not getting into politics here, but that's not an endless supply of money. It's got to stop at some point.
So. Right. But remember when you are homeless and you are on the street and you are struggling day to day, your mm-hmm. mindset is always in survivor mode.
Right.
And so you're not thinking long term. You're thinking today and maybe tomorrow. And so, you know, if you're given a stimulus check or a tax refund, that is an enormous amount of money. Mm-hmm. And it seems almost impossible to think that that wouldn't last, you know, as long as they're believing that it will, but it doesn't. It goes very quickly. And unfortunately, again, it can create a very false sense of security. I don't even know how else to say it other right. than, you know, I I really hope that if somebody is in that position, that they're really trying to decide, that they talk to somebody who has some financial mindset and can maybe help them get, you know, on track with how to best utilize that money to get their life turned around. You know, for women who have placed a baby for adoption, the Donna K. Evans program, the aftercare program, we know we have a worker that can actually sit down and kind of help them. Okay, like let's try to get you long-term housing, and let's see what we can do to stretch out that dollar rather mm-hmm. than just, you know, paying night after night after night at a hotel, thinking that, you know, someone's going to come knock on the door tomorrow and offer you a long-term job or housing or something like that.
Interesting. Now, I didn't know you had somebody doing that. And I think that's fantastic. Actually, this whole episode, I've been thinking this is one of the big things these ladies need, is somebody to help guide them, a little financial advisor, you know, kind of saying, okay, now this is a good decision. This is not as good. And this is long-term. This is way long-term, and kind of break it down for them.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think the schools, I know that when I went to high school and I went to a public high school, you know, I had to take home economics. I had to learn how to balance a checkbook, and I had to learn how to do, you know, some basic accounting. And I, you know, I learned how to clip coupons and iron a shirt and sew a button on, and, you know, all of those things that seem silly, but are so important. Mm-hmm. And they don't offer anything like that at my kids' public high school. Like, that's not a common class anymore.
Really?
No. And so it's really interesting that, you know, somebody who is looking at the curriculum of a high school thinks it's more important to study, you know, some ancient history than right now as to how to balance a checkbook, how to make a budget, how to write a resume, mm-hmm. how to attend a job interview, how to organize your day, how to plan ahead, how to sew on a button, how to, you know, all those little things that are so important.
Right. Absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. We had classes like that, again, home ec and shop. And I also took accounting in high school. So I know we had that all available. And it's unfortunate that some of that isn't a prerequisite for kids, just kind of basic life skills, some kind of class like that.
I mean, they do have, like you said, I think if there's an accounting class or something like that, or administrative assistant type class, but it's not, there needs to be like a fundamentals class.
Right, exactly.
You know? And in this class is where you would talk about family planning. You would mm-hmm. talk about, you know, if you do receive money, you know, how to save, how it's important to maybe have separate accounts, so that you have one for savings and one for, you know, your bills, and when to pay bills and how to structure them, and, you know, which bills to pay first, and, you know, those kind of things.
Absolutely. And I like the idea of kind of having it to some degree be a catch-all of life skills of, you know what, you need to know how to do, I don't know, a grilled cheese sandwich, but also how to kind of balance your budget. I mean, you don't have to be working Wall Street, but at least be able to balance your home and your family's budget.
Right. Because again, and we offer those services through the Donna Cabins program. Mm-hmm. I know that some women, you know, don't know, you know, we have a food pantry, and we have to walk through, you know, some ways to, you know, stretch a meal. Mm-hmm. You know, I know with my 24-year-old, she was funny. During the COVID time, she had called me up and asked if I would place a grocery order for her, because she had never placed an online grocery order. And, you know, of course, she lives on her own. And so in doing that, I said, make sure you give me a couple of your, you know, favorites that you want to, that, so I make sure I hit everything that you want.
Right.
And, you know, she gave me her budget. And so I went through, and when the groceries arrived, she was like, wow, like I have actual meal stuff. And I said, isn't that what you have when you go grocery shopping? And she goes, well, kind of. And I said, yeah. So what I did was, for 2 weeks, I planned meals for every night, and then I shopped accordingly. And then you add in certain things, and, you know, some things, you know, you make it one night and you can make it into a second meal the next night without really having to start from scratch. And so you can kind of, you know,
tweak
lean
it
over the next meal. And she's like, wow. And, and it was so funny to me, because I was thinking like, okay, so as a parent, I didn't think to teach them that. But again, I guess that's kind of trial and error. But yeah, I mean, you can, you know, you can make a meal for a lot of people under $5 if you work hard at it. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, spaghetti isn't everybody's favorite, but you can do it. And
absolutely. Now, so I'm just curious, since you brought this all up, has she kind of changed her ways as far as start planning some of those meals ahead of time like this now?
Yes. Awesome. She actually has. They had gone from eating out, which through Uber Eats quite a bit, to now when I call over there, they're cooking now. And yes, very different. And it's really exciting to hear from her, because I guess a good analogy is I showed her how to fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she, you know, she's catching fish left and right now. So it's really, yeah, that was really neat. And again, that's what the Donna Cavins program can do as well, is to help women, you know, kind of learn those things, you know, for women that grew up in the foster care system, and they grew up, you know, maybe where their parents were incarcerated, or they didn't have an active parent at home because their mom was maybe a single parent and she worked all the time. Those don't just come naturally. You have to learn how to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's really important. And it's the things that maybe, you know, you and I would take for granted because we've been on our, you know, as an adult living on our own, and, you know, we have held down jobs and worked and so forth, that we don't realize that you've got to go back and show some people how to do things. And yeah, I think with that knowledge and understanding, I think a lot of women may look at a parenting choice differently and may see why adoption is such a blessing, because it gives everybody an opportunity for a fresh start. It gives, you know, the birth mother the opportunity to really take the time and go back to school if she wants to, or find the job she's looking for, focus on what she needs to do to improve herself and her life, whether it's just for her or her other children that she has at home. You know, the baby is placed in a home that will have what that child needs. It's stable, it's functional, and yet still have an open line of communication with their birth mother. And it gives the adoptive family an opportunity to be parents. And so it is literally a win-win-win situation for everybody.
And bringing back to something you had just said about focusing basically on themselves, I've been reading two books recently, and they both kind of coincide in a weird way, because they kind of focus on the fact that before you change society and change the world, you need to start with yourself. Then you move out and work on your family. And then you move out and work on your community. And it keeps going out larger in concentric circles, but you have to start with yourself.
Agreed. And that is the 100% message. I think the takeaway from this episode is that you do have to start within. And because you have a stimulus check or you have a tax refund, that's not going to change your mindset. It may change your living situation for a little bit, but it's not going to change your mindset. And so that's really what has to be at the forefront of your decision.
We have a pregnancy crisis hotline available 24/7 by phone or text at 623-695-4112, or you can reach us on our toll-free number at 1-800-340-9665. We can make an immediate appointment with you to get you to a safe place, provide food and clothing, and help you get started on creating an Arizona adoption plan, or just give you more information. Check out our blogs on our website at azpregnancyhelp.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by looking for AZ Adopt Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to rate and review us on whatever platform you use to listen to us. Birth Mother Matters and Adoption was written and produced by Kelly Rourke-Scarry and edited by me. Thanks go out to Grapes for letting us use their song I Don't Know as our theme song. Join us next time on Birth Mother Matters and Adoption. For Kelly Rourke-Scarry, I'm Ron Raines, and we'll see you then.